I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, this is Richard Deitch and welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. My producer is Patrick Antonetti. Do we call this an emergency podcast, Patrick Antonetti? Well, it's sort of a semi-emergency podcast because I can't really justify the NFL television schedule release as a quote-unquote emergency. But we are going to turn this one around very, very quickly and absolutely pleased to be joined by Sports Media Watch founder and editor John Lewis, kind enough to jump on a moment's notice. John, welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. Before we start, please promote your own podcast, which is part of this space.
Yes, the Sports Media Watch Podcast. I do it every week with Drew Lerner, and it's Wednesdays. You can catch it most of the time. It'll be out Wednesday morning, sometimes maybe overnight, sometimes mid-morning. But every week, we talk about all the issues in sports TV, primarily, though, TV ratings.
All right. And again, for those who don't know, Sports Media Watch, that website is just invaluable. It's probably not even a fair word to call it. It's one of the Bibles of the sports television media landscape, and I cannot recommend it enough, and cannot appreciate John's work for many decades in chronicling this stuff. All right, John, let's get into it. NFL schedule release. The geniuses at the NFL have actually created an event over a PDF file. God bless them. Very, very impressive. Every year when I talk to the network executives, they'll always say they love their schedule. I'm sure you've seen all the press releases like I do. What were your first and opening impressions when you saw the national games?
Well, we'll get to the ESPN aspect later, but, you know, them getting a Super Bowl rematch, I mean, that's a pretty big game for them to get. You know, the last Super Bowl rematch in the regular season, Patriots-Falcons, was a Sunday night football game. The one the year before that, which was Broncos-Panthers, was the kickoff game. So that is usually a big game, an NBC game. If you go back a few years before that, they had the Broncos-Seahawks rematch was the 4:25 p.m. national window. So for ESPN and ABC to get this, it's kind of a culmination of all the efforts that Jimmy Pitaro made to smooth things over with the NFL, because there's simply no way that ESPN would have gotten this kind of matchup a few years ago.
Yeah, so we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it network by network. We can start with ESPN since you just brought them up. So they open with the Bills at the Jets. To me, that's a phenomenal opening game. Aaron Rodgers' debut with the Jets. It's a home debut. You have the Bills, which are one of the signature AFC teams in terms of interest and star power. So they have a great start. I don't think they could have gotten a better start. They have their doubleheader in weeks 2 and 3. So, you know, if you like Cleveland at Pittsburgh, if you like Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, those are the ABC games. Raiders Cincinnati is one of the ESPN games. And then go down their roster. They have Dallas. Cowboys are always the most important team for viewership for any of these networks in week 6. They have another Cowboys game at the end of the year. Lions at Cowboys. That, if the Lions turn out to be good, could be an absolute mega game. And then, like you said, John, and this was the one that stood out to me, week 11, Eagles at Chiefs, Super Bowl rematch. I am with you. There is no chance in the world ESPN gets that under John Skipper and the frayed relationship that ESPN had with the NFL. Jimmy, you can almost argue Jimmy Pitaro's main charge coming in and taking that job was to basically rehab the relationship that the company had with the NFL. He's done that. You know, I don't have all the schedules in front of me, but basically, like, on face, this feels like ESPN's best schedule. Maybe it is just because they have the most inventory, but, you know, you look at the schedule, week 1 is a banger as an opener, and then again, week 11, they have arguably one of the best games, if not the best game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality of the matter is ESPN's schedule a few years ago was awful. That's the reason it's so kind of shocking to see how good it is now. If you go back to 17, it was almost as if the NFL was sabotaging its own product with the schedule that ESPN had at that time. Obviously, the ABC games, you know, have certainly helped. This is the strongest schedule they've had since, you know, Al Michaels, John Madden, and, you know, the original Monday Night Football run all those years ago. I don't think there's any question about that.
All right, let's head to NBC. And again, one, you know, this is what I sort of focus on for The Athletic, at least in the lead of my column. I'm very interested in like the first couple weeks because I think viewership momentum is important. I think the NFL has made a very, very clear decision that they want to front load their first couple of weeks to get some good viewership going. I know people hate this word, but like narratives mean a lot to that league, and they don't want the narrative like our games are down 3%, 2%, 5% to start the year. They want that narrative to be our games are up 7% from 2022 or whatever. So Cowboys at Giants, which is always, John, like always feels like a starter for Sunday Night Football. Again, that's a fantastic viewership game to me, or at least potential viewership game to me. And again, like Sunday Night Football, like I expect always a grade A kind of schedule. And like everything I saw there, like sort of fulfilled that. Week 14, Eagles at Cowboys, that to me has massive potential. Week 9, Bills at Bengals. So you finally get that game. You know, the game that we did not see because of the horrible on scene stuff with DeMar Hamlin on Monday Night Football. So again, like I think the thing with NBC, I just look at it like that feels just like a Sunday Night Football schedule to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a customary strong schedule. Of course, the big thing that jumps out is week 16 with the exclusive Peacock game that's part of the deal. It's very interesting because, you know, ESPN Plus has an exclusive game every year, but it's the 9:30 a.m. London game. I mean, that's not a great, you know, a great time slot. The Peacock game is the primetime game on a Saturday night. And NBC will actually have a Saturday afternoon game leading into that. So that's going to be interesting. That kind of jumps out to me. Obviously, anytime Christmas and New Year's fall on a Monday, it means Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are on a Sunday. I'm a bit surprised they decided to go with a Sunday night game on New Year's Eve because they've tried to avoid that. If you remember at 17, they didn't do one. And then the only other time Sunday Night Football was on New Year's Eve was, if you remember, Favre crying in the sideline interview, Bears-Packers. Everybody thought it was his final game because he was emotional and they were playing Auld Lang Syne in the background and everything. But, you know, so that's probably going to be a pretty low-rated edition in week 17. But as you say, a lot of great games on here. Bills-Bengals definitely jumps out. It's just a typical strong schedule with maybe one slight exception, maybe not an exception, but just more like I'm surprised they went with this. Lions on opening night. The Lions could be good, but, you know, it's one of those matchups that doesn't necessarily jump out as the most attractive for the kickoff game just because Detroit hasn't been to the playoffs in a few years. So that was a little bit of a gutsy move, if you want to call it that. But other than that, pretty much what you would expect. I mean, just strong all the way down. Mahomes versus Rodgers in week 4, Cowboys Niners in week 5, Giants Bills. I mean, it's just hit after hit.
Yeah. I appreciate you mentioning that Peacock game because Bills at Chargers on that Saturday in December. And if you're not in one of those cities and you don't have Peacock, you're not going to be able to watch that game. And I would expect some serious social media angst on that, but that's, you know, that is part of the new contract, and that is a new wrinkle. Amazon Prime on Thursday. I think if you are them, you want to start off with a decent game. I mean, I think that's really, really important for Amazon Prime. They're only in their second year. There's still an awareness factor here. I talked to them yesterday. Marie Donahue was very happy about Vikings at Eagles, and I can understand that. I think that's a legit happiness. The Eagles are a very, very good television team, you know, Super Bowl finalist. Vikings have some, at least if nothing else, they got arguably the best wide receiver in football. And then what they were really happy about is, and again, we'll see how competitive the games are, but if you look at where they're going and they travel with their pregame and postgame show. You know, they're at Niners, at Green Bay, at Kansas City, at New Orleans, at Buffalo, at Pittsburgh, at Chicago. They're going to a lot of these iconic places with a lot of great atmosphere. And if nothing else, the imagery should be good. But again, not to sort of repeat myself, John, but I feel like Amazon kind of got the schedule I expected. And I don't think it's a bad Thursday Night Football schedule. I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. It's always going to be behind Fox, CBS, ESPN, and NBC.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it, you know, the reality of the matter is, I mean, it's Amazon, you know, it's not the same kind of platform. And even though they did well in the ratings compared to expectations, it's still way below what you would expect for, you know, the other packages. I should obviously specify not among the younger demographics. So among the younger demographics, it did quite well, which is one of the reasons why this deal is so valuable. But you know, they've got some interesting matchups, as you said, great locations. Two Jets games could be a positive as well, finishing off the season with the Jets. You know, so they've got some good stuff. I feel like maybe their Cowboys game could have been a little bit stronger on paper. I mean, the Seahawks aren't a bad team at all, but that kind of seems like you know, if it was on a Sunday, it might not even be the 4:25 game necessarily, right? So, you know, but again, it's Thursday Night Football. It's Amazon Prime. It's not supposed to be the blue chip schedule.
Yep, all well said on all.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's turn to CBS and Fox. And, you know, in talking to Mike Mulvihill at Fox this week, you know, they're... They knew they were going to be in a good place because ultimately they were going to have the most Cowboys games, even with the ability for you know, CBS and Fox now to get games that they traditionally would not get when they were really, really tied to the NFC and the AFC. I look at the Fox schedule in particular, John, and it's really, really loaded late in the year. They have Dallas at Buffalo on December 17th, which is a potential monster. They have, I believe they have on November 5th is Dallas at the Eagles. Again, another, you know, viewership monster that could hit 30 million. You go to CBS, they essentially, their last game in 2023 is Bengals at Chiefs. You know, again, an AFC championship type of game. They have on December 10th, Bills at Chiefs. If anything, when looking at CBS and Fox in terms of the back end of the doubleheader, and both of us know the 4:25 p.m. ET window is the most important window in television, you know, like the first week is not, you know, like over the top hot with Packers at Bears and Eagles at Patriots, although that Patriot game I think is a Tom Brady celebration. But, you know, as the season rolls on, man, that it is what it is. Those games in the back end of that doubleheader, most of them, honestly, are potential monsters. How did you see it?
Well, I mean, I think you make an interesting point about week one because, you know, obviously the NFL is going to do what it wants, but I don't think Fox and CBS want to be going up against each other in week one, right, with the competing doubleheaders. So it's interesting. You don't really have the major, major games in that window, even though the NFL usually likes to front load. For week one, it's kind of a little bit middling. I wonder if that's because CBS and Fox figure, let's not waste our biggest games against each other.
Yeah. Plus, if you're the NFL, obviously, you're going to load up NBC, right, and ESPN on that first week. So I think that's where you're getting your sizzle.
Yeah. Yeah. But as you said, as usual, the 4:25 p.m. window has so many great games in it. And, you know, I do wonder about the New Year's Eve. Right. I mentioned it before. The NFL, this is actually only the third time since all these deals began in 06 that New Year's Eve falls on a Sunday. We know how that affects the ratings for college football. Granted, it's still a Sunday, but, you know, Bengals Chiefs in that window might not be as strong as it ordinarily would be because even on an NFL Sunday, people are going to go out on New Year's Eve.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So here's my just one caveat. I know you know this for sure. That's where weather can play a factor. If the weather's beautiful in the U.S., I tend to agree with you. But if December 31st turns out to be like half the country is under a snow blizzard or something like that, well, then I think the viewership will be crazy for that game.
That's always, you know, one of those wild cards is the weather this time of year or that time of year. Of course, if you're in the Midwest in May, you might as well be that time of year anyway. But, you know, the reality of the matter is that 4:25 p.m. window is always going to be, you know, aces. And the great thing about it is you have a greater ability to flex in that window as well. So if you've got a couple of games that just don't really fit, you can always move a 1 p.m. game to 4:25 without it being that big of a deal. So, you know, again, great games, great ratings. I'm quite sure you'll be talking about the two highest rated shows in all of TV. The national window on Fox will usually be number one, and then the window on CBS will be number two.
Let me ask you about a couple of the sort of the specialty games this year. Christmas, now the NFL has made its planted its flag. It has decided that the NBA will not own that day, and frankly, the NFL can and will. What do you think of the games that they chose for Christmas this year?
Well, you know, I mean, anything is better than Broncos-Rams last year, right? Look, the reality of the matter is Raiders-Chiefs is a great matchup to start, just traditionally. Assuming the Raiders are not, you know, horrible, I think you should get a pretty good number there. Packers-Dolphins did really well in that window last year, actually. So, you know, it's got a high bar to clear, but it could reach that bar. Giants-Eagles, as long as those teams are as good as they were last year, is going to do a great number and be up significantly from last year's game. And then Ravens-Niners, you know, I mean, there's a lot of potential there. The interesting thing with that is that it's an ABC exclusive. So obviously ESPN has the NBA that day. Last year, when none of the NFL games were on ESPN or ABC, ESPN and ABC simulcast all five NBA Christmas Day games. And even with the NFL competition, NBA Christmas viewership was up. So I find it interesting. The NFL put the Ravens-Niners on ABC exclusively. First time that's happened in the entire TV deal that ABC gets a solo Monday night football game, right? And that means that the NBA will be on ESPN. Ordinarily, you would have expected if there was only going to be one broadcast of that game that it would have been on ESPN, freeing up ABC to carry the NBA. So it's a small little thing, but the NFL is even kind of elbowing the NBA out of the paint by putting that game on ABC, which again is not something that's happened in this entire deal.
Yeah. I was going to say, great observation on that. I want to ask you about the Thanksgiving Day games. Again, in some ways, these are sort of viewership proof, like people are home, they're going to watch. The Lions always have gotten that spot. Now, if they're good, actually, I feel like that probably can amp up the rating a little bit. They have Green Bay. It is, and I don't have the entire Cowboy schedule in front of me, John, but, like, you know, the Commanders are probably as unappealing a Cowboy opponent as it gets on the schedule. And then if I'm right, I think it's Niners, Seahawks as well. So, again, like, there's no doubt that the viewership's going to be good because it's Thanksgiving, but that slate did not necessarily overwhelm me as a Thanksgiving play.
Yeah, no, you're exactly correct. The very interesting thing about all of that is the NFL doesn't really have to put good games on Thanksgiving or opening night, really. Well, maybe lesser opening night, but certainly on Thanksgiving, you can just ride the tradition and the elevated viewership of that day. The Commanders are an extremely unappealing team in so many ways, right? And so unless they have a great season out of nowhere, you know, it's probably going to be not the best game on paper. But because it's Thanksgiving, they're probably going to get 40 million viewers in that window anyway, or at least, you know, 35, 36, 37. So what that allows you to do is you take a game that if it was on Sunday at 1 o'clock, probably would be one of the lesser Cowboys games of the year, and you put it in a window where it's going to get one of the biggest audiences of the season. The interesting thing to me is the Christmas schedule is so much stronger than the Thanksgiving schedule. Now, some might think, well, that's because the NFL is trying to, you know, take over that holiday from the NBA. But I think it's because the NFL is so established on Thanksgiving that it can kind of take that holiday for granted. It doesn't have to give you a great game that day. on Christmas, they're trying to establish something that hasn't really been there before. So they have to go all out in a way that they don't have to on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's, I totally think, I think you're thinking like an NFL schedule maker. I think you totally nailed that. All right, then the last one I want to get to on the specialty is Amazon's Black Friday game, which I think they did great. Dolphins at Jets. I love the tie-in to New York just because, like, I buy Amazon on this in terms of, like, you know, commerce and shopping and, you know, you're talking about the wealthiest city in the country in New York City. That's, I mean, I have to presume that the Jets and Dolphins will be good at least by week 12. I don't think they're going to flop. So I think in that sense, I think Amazon got a great matchup. We obviously have nothing to compare it to. There's no afternoon Friday apples to apples comparison on the day after Thanksgiving, but I don't know. You could, there's an argument to be made that maybe that was their best game that Amazon got outside of their opener.
Yeah, no, it's a great game for them. I mean, assuming that both teams are good and healthy, that's another aspect, obviously, with the NFL. They should get, well, I mean, it's hard to tell what kind of number they're going to get. I mean, they'll probably have the highest rated and most watched game of the day. And Black Friday is not a great day of college football ratings, right? A lot of people in college football are upset that the NFL is intruding on Black Friday. But, you know, if you look at the Black Friday viewership for college football games, it's always so much higher the following day when you have Ohio State, Michigan, and all the big rivalries. So it's not like college football is being really put out, but certainly the NFL will be the highest rated game of the day, you would think. You know, the 3 o'clock start time is certainly interesting. I know why that's happening in terms of the NFL can't schedule night games on Fridays legally, but I think it's actually just a really good time slot as well for a day like that. Day after Thanksgiving, everybody's off, you know, well, not everybody, obviously, but most people are off, and it's just an opportunity to kind of sit back, relax, and watch a game in a time slot you wouldn't normally get to see one. So I think it'll work out pretty well for Amazon.
You know, I can't to ask you, like, if you think the schedule, you know, means increases or decreases is really impossible because so much it's going to be based on things, variables that we don't know, you know, which teams are good, which teams aren't, you know, weather, a million different things. That said, let me ask you sort of holistically or writ large, how much room, in your opinion, is there still for the NFL to go up in viewership versus just sort of like where they are right now as a baseline?
Well, I mean, as long as Nielsen keeps finding additional viewers with the couch cushions, right? I mean,
that's right.
There's always potential to go up. I don't think the numbers that we see reported for any sporting event yet are fully capturing all of the viewers.
You agree with me. They've been historically undersold for a long time.
Yes, for a very long time. And we're seeing, obviously, in the out-of-home era, how much better everything's doing. And, you know, maybe viewership isn't actually growing. Because obviously, if you go back a few years and you had out of home, who knows what the numbers would have been. But certainly, as, like I said, as Nielsen keeps changing its methodology, I think viewership will only go up and up and up. So this year, you know, who knows? I mean, it's always tough to tell. And for all the discussion about politics in regard to the NFL's ratings, it's so much dependent on whether the games are good, whether the glamour teams are good, whether people are healthy. If you go back to that 2017 year when everyone, you know, was making a big deal out of the ratings being down, if I remember correctly, the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs, the Packers didn't make the playoffs. I mean, you had some of the glamour teams in the league that had a bad year. If that happens this year, you know, I mean, the ratings could easily go down. Certainly, if you don't have Tom Brady anymore, that's not a small deal, right? When Peyton Manning retired, that was also something that affected the 2017 ratings. That was the first year after Peyton's retirement. Brady made the Buccaneers a marquee team. Well, now you don't have the Buccaneers. You really don't have the Patriots, who don't have the same interest level since Brady retired. So you do lose one of those glamour teams. I think anytime you're kind of, you know, forecast from months ahead of the start of the season, it's just impossible to know. You know, I would say based on the last couple of years, I'd probably lean toward it being another good year for the NFL, but a lot to come between now and then.
You know, I wonder if you agree with me on this. You know, the one place where I think the discussion between politics and the NFL will reemerge is 2024, September, October, November, because You know, we're going to be, that's when we're going to be in the middle of an insane frenzy right before the presidential election. But I think 2023, I think we're still too far away where, like, I don't see cable news siphoning any NFL viewership or stuff like that. But 2024, it could. I mean, you know, John, that one thing we did, we have seen historically, right? Like, in some of those years, at least, you know, in October or something like that, you could see, you know, if there's a presidential debate or something like that, whatever, you know, cable news siphoning a little bit off the NFL.
Well, you know, don't be shocked if cable news, you know, starts to decline a bit. I mean, certainly you have the situation at Fox where Fox has taken a big hit in its viewership. I mean, I expect them to recover by certainly by next year, but you just never know. CNN has taken an enormous hit. MSNBC, you know, probably is the most stable of all of them, and it's not like their viewership has ever been that good. So, I mean, I am, you know, I mean, certainly if you're in the sports industry, you're hopeful that cable news will not be what it was, you know, certainly in 2020, but even in 2016. And I think there's a possibility that you won't see the kind of numbers, even if it's another heated election. I mean, you got to remember, cable news is dealing with the same exact issues that everybody else in TV is, right?
Yep,
people are
cord cutting
plus TV.
Yep, exactly. Last one for me. You know, every year there's usually a team that everybody expects to do well that fades, and it really, really hurts the schedule. The Broncos were probably, you know, if not the biggest one, a big one last year in that they had so many national games, primetime games, and they just tanked. Conversely, there's also usually a team, though, that sort of emerges and really becomes like a great team unexpectedly, and you and very much people, you know, they become in some ways at least a little bit of a national team. So forgetting about the team that drops, is there a team in the NFL that you think like has some potential to be maybe an unexpected national draw? I know the hot team to talk about is the Lions. I don't know if that would be your answer, but any team you see that, you know, we're talking like week 12 or 13, like, man, I gotta watch this team play in this window.
Yeah, this is a really good question. I would say the Lions, just because the NFL has kind of made that obvious that they think the Lions could make that jump, putting them on opening night. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, the reality of the matter is if the Browns are good, it's not like the NFL is going to be happy about that because of the Watson situation, right? They do have that week 17 game to finish out. Let me see. It's Thursday Night Football, right?
Yeah, Jets at Cleveland on Amazon.
So there's a little bit of hope, or at least a little bit of expectation that the Browns could be relevant by that point. But again, they're not going to be a team that, you know, is attractive. Certainly the Lions, you know, again, the Lions, they open the season and they close out the Monday night.
No, I think that's the answer to me. I think that's probably the legit answer. You're right, though. I mean, I mean, both of us are sort of sports viewership nerds. I'm really fascinated by that Lions Chiefs opener because I don't think it's going to pop as maybe as much as the NFL thinks, but I'd love to be wrong.
Well, I think it gives me, it reminds me of the Falcons Eagles opener in 18. And that one did so poorly, everyone thought it was a continuation of the previous year's slump. And then the ratings were actually really good after that. But, you know, it reminds me of that. It's just not, you know, even the NFL needs to grab you right from the start because it's hard to kind of ease your way back into, you know, a season. You want to really get something big and attention grabbing at the beginning. I think the Lions, certainly, a lot of people are very high on them after the way they finished, a little bit like the bubble Phoenix Suns, right? Who had that 8-0 run in the bubble, and you knew they were going to be good. But until they get to that point, you know, I would kind of lean against opening the season with them. Maybe closing the season with them on MNF is smarter than opening the season with them.
And I think some of it, you know, I mean, some of it is the league markets the entire sport through quarterbacks, as they should. Yep. And while Jared Goff's, like, statistically had a phenomenal year last year, he's just not, yep, you know what I mean? This is not Mahomes or Rodgers or Brady. It's just not, it's a hard marketing sell, at least at this point, until he wins some playoff games. And I think if I'm thinking about it, that's probably why I just have a little hesitation as to that thing popping viewership-wise. By the way, this is not an indictment of the Lions. The Lions could be awesome. This is a viewership conversation. So, but we'll see. You know what? and I know you know this, John, Lions go out and roll Kansas City, you start thinking very differently about the Lions, like from week one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly a lot of potential to create kind of that following that carries through the season with a big win. Of course, you know, you could also be what the Bills beating the Patriots with Lawyer Malloy. What was that? 38-0 Didn't amount to much.
Yeah. Oh, God, I would love to see the Bills win the Super Bowl. It would just be so nice for that city. All right, John, is there anything else you would like to add before we leave this emergency podcast?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, the NFL, as usual, comes out in middle of May, becomes a big story in the middle of everybody else's playoffs, because that's what the NFL can do. It'll be interesting to see what the most watched game of the year is in this season. I'm looking maybe Bills-Chiefs, December 10th. That 4:25 p.m. window, maybe that'll be the one. But well, actually,
yeah, like
I gotta digress. The most watched Sunday game, because obviously the ones on Thanksgiving will be the most watched of the year.
Yeah. I will say, if the Jets are good, watch out for some of those later games of the year with the Jets on Fox in the 4:25 window. They could pop. We'll see though. All right, listen, again, as I said, John Lewis's work is invaluable. Check out his website, Sports Media Watch. He mentioned the podcast that he's doing every week that comes out. Subscribe to that. You can follow him at Sports Media Watch on Twitter. And again, if you're into viewership at all for all sports, it's a must follow and read. John, listen, very good of you to come on a moment's note. It's I really appreciate it. And thanks so much today for joining me on the Sports Media Podcast.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, back in the studio. My thanks to John Lewis for coming on for our emergency podcast. I did want to do something quick on the schedule release, because it's obviously a massive, important story in my world. Last couple podcasts, Peter King. We did a whole thing on the NFL this week. Obviously, iconic football writer. Hopefully, you'll enjoy that. Had a roundtable with some regulars, Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, Austin Carr from Sports Business Journal, on a number of things, including NBA stuff. Daniel Jeremiah was on this podcast date. Dana O'Neill and Tim Layden talking about how to cover the Kentucky Derby. And again, head to the archives. There should be stuff over the last couple weeks/months that you'll appreciate, whether it's Holly Rowe, Joe Davis, Kevin Harlan, Taylor Twellman. The list goes on. Thanks, as always, to Patrick Antonetti for his hard work and for being available at a moment's notice. Thanks to everybody at Canes 13 and Odyssey for their support. And thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.